I'm reading from John chapter 15, and I'm reading verses 26 and 27, and then I'm reading, chapter 16, verses 4 through 14, 4b through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. When the counselor comes, this is Jesus speaking, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. 16. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, the counselor, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of peace, or the prince of this world, now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this word this morning. We pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to hear the message that you have for us. Pray that you'll open my lips to speak what you would have me to say. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit's guidance and your help today. Amen. So in case you hadn't noticed, there are some subtle hints that it's my birthday today. And actually up here there are 50 Twizzlers. I don't know why 50. And there are a couple puzzles that have, you guessed it, 50 pieces. And there's even a coloring book here. It's a word find, big word, big letters, but it also is volume 50. Thank you so much for this reminder of my age. There are 50 balloons, yes, yes. anyway, so I was talking with my brother yesterday, and I said, yeah, I heard that they're going to do a birthday celebration tomorrow at the church. And he said, oh, we're doing a birthday celebration at our church, too. I said, you are? Thank you. You know, just collect cash. That's what I suggested to him, you know, send it along. He said, well, actually, they're not having a birthday for you. He lives in Philadelphia. He's a pastor down there. He said, we're celebrating the birth of the church. It's the birthday of the church, Pentecost Sunday. And so, yes, we're also reminded of the birth of the church. And the reason that we say this is the birth of the church is because at this point, the disciples, as Patty had pointed out, were really living in fear. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They didn't know how to proceed. And yet, as soon as the Spirit of God came upon them, they had a mission. They had a mission. And we are still living out that mission today. So, happy birthday, church, to you, too. And yes, that was older than me, Frank, you asked that. Today we're talking about this Holy Spirit. And in our text today, it talks about the Holy Spirit's referred to as the Counselor. He's called, referred to as the Spirit of Truth, this one who speaks and is sent by the Father, sent by me, speaking my words. This is a beautiful text when we, if you want to explain the Trinity or talk a little bit about the Trinity. Some say, well, the Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. That word isn't actually in the Bible. But in this case, we have the Father and the Son and the Spirit and how they interact together. So it's a wonderful text for that. In our background today, we see that Jesus is actually preparing his disciples for his leaving. He keeps saying to them, I'm going to be going away. And they're not very happy about this. Remember, last week, even before Jesus was taken up into heaven, His disciples said, okay, so now are you going to set up your kingdom? They were expecting that. And so they didn't want Jesus to leave. And Jesus said, you know, I understand that you're sad. I understand that this doesn't make sense to you. But here's why I have to go. In order for the Spirit to come, in order for this counselor, the Spirit of truth to come to you, I have to leave. All right? And so this is necessary. And it's actually going to be better for you. I remember somebody said to me one time, wouldn't it have been better if Jesus had just stayed around? It would have been a better evidence to the world. Jesus says, this is better than my just staying around. The Spirit of God, because this Spirit is now given to every believer. And the power that I've demonstrated is extended now to all who follow me. Sometimes we miss that power. We miss that strength and the fact that the Spirit of God lives in us as followers. What does the Spirit do? We see in our text that the Spirit of God is bringing comfort to the disciples. Jesus says, you know, don't feel bad because the Spirit's going to come and you're going to be glad when he's here, right? The Spirit of God brings comfort, and he gives us hope and peace in hard times. The Spirit also reveals the truth about Jesus. We see that in the first verse. When the counselor comes, he will testify about me, Jesus says. He reveals the truth about Jesus. And so this is important for us. We can get a book knowledge or maybe an experience kind of knowledge, but it's the Holy Spirit who really reveals to us the truths about Jesus. And finally, we see that the Spirit convicts or conveys the words of Jesus to believers. Jesus says, you know, there's lots more that I wanted to tell you. He says this to his disciples. But there's just too much. You can't handle it. But the Holy Spirit's going to continue to bring these truths to you. Now, we recognize we have the Word of God, and throughout the New Testament, we see how the Spirit of God has been teaching and revealing the truths of Jesus to Paul and to Peter, to the disciples, and those who have written in the New Testament. His Spirit continues to reveal Jesus to us now, though. We continue to have an understanding of Jesus. It doesn't go against the things that we see in Scripture. It has to go along with what we see in Scripture, as a matter of fact. But sometimes the Spirit opens our minds to a truth of Jesus that we maybe were blind to before. And so Jesus says, this is what the Spirit's going to do. He's going to convey my words, and he's going to continue to teach you. He's going to continue to take what's mine and make it yours. This is what the Spirit does. So what does this? We see the Spirit of truth. And in the middle of our text, we see that the Spirit of truth is one who's also going to reveal the misunderstandings that people have, exposing the error of the world's views. In verse 8, Jesus says, when he comes, this Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. That's what the NIV says. It's kind of confusing as you read this. What exactly is Jesus talking about? The word convict we usually think of as some sort of feeling that we were wrong and we're convicted of that wrong. The Greek word that's actually used here is one that has a little bit of a deeper meaning than just the word convict. It has more to do with a courtroom kind of scene, how a lawyer goes about and argues a point so that we become so that the jury becomes convinced of something. Okay. And so there's a conviction by way of argument, so to speak. And so I love the way that the Message puts it. It says, in Eugene Peterson's Message, he says, when he comes, the Spirit will expose the error of God, of the godless world's view of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then he goes on and talks about these things. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, that the righteousness comes from above, and that judgment takes place as the ruler of the godless world is brought to trial and convicted. we have, taking a look at each one of these, that the Spirit reveals the truth to the world about sin. You know, it's interesting. All of this is talking about Jesus, okay? And so we have to keep Jesus as central in our understanding of this text and these words, these things that Jesus was saying. Otherwise, we can kind of get off on some strange tangents here. But instead, Jesus is saying, I want you to understand that the Spirit is going to reveal the truth about me, he says. He's going to testify about me. And so as part of that, he's going to reveal the truth about sin and how the world, what the world thinks about sin. You know, we often think about sin as what you do and don't do, right? That's what sin is. Breaking the laws of Moses. That's the sins that actually would have had Jesus convicted, because there were some laws of Moses and Sabbath laws and purity laws and social kind of laws that Jesus didn't follow, even though they were written in black and white in the Old Testament. And part of the problem is that Jesus taught others to do the same and to follow him, saying that there was a higher truth, as he talked about loving God and loving people as being the center of the law. And so the world viewed Jesus as a sinner. The religious leaders said, this man is teaching false teachings, because it went against what they believed. And it also, he didn't follow those rules the way that they would follow him, follow them. Jesus says, however, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you the truth about this sin, about what the world thinks is sin. Because, first of all, God looks at the heart. Because we think, well, if I do this or I don't do that, well, so that's a sin. God looks at the heart and he recognizes the sin that's there in our hearts and that that's what drives us. And then he points out and he says that failure to believe in Jesus, that's our primary sin. That's where it all goes wrong. As we reject Jesus, we can be guaranteed that we are living in sin. That's where it begins. Jesus then went on to say, the Spirit's going to convict and convince the world of their error and the way that they think of righteousness. We think of righteousness as being good, attending church, giving your money, putting it in the plate. These are the kinds of things we say, yeah, that's a good person, a righteous person. Of course, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they said, here's how you're righteous, okay? You have to follow, live like we live. You have to stay so far away from breaking these laws that you don't even get close to it. That's what true righteousness is all about. And that's really what the way the world thinks about righteousness. And so they look at themselves and say, there's no righteousness in me, of course. And there's no righteousness in you who say you're righteous. So Jesus didn't do what the righteous people of the day did. He didn't do what the Pharisees did, who were considered the righteous ones. But Jesus says the Spirit's going to teach the truth about this. And the truth is that righteousness comes from Jesus. That's how we become righteous, is through Jesus. Gary Berg writes this, the second error that the world has thinks that through Jesus' death, that his unrighteousness is going to be shown to the world. See, when he was put on the cross, that was to show the world that he was unrighteous. But God reverses this, and he makes the cross a place of glorification in which Jesus' innocence and righteousness is proclaimed. The surprising reversal is that the world and religious leaders that lack true righteousness, that's where the righteousness is missing. So when the world celebrates the end of Jesus at the tomb, because he can't be seen any longer, something has happened. The disciples celebrate the true circumstances of his absence, that he has been enthroned with the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And this is the essence of our Easter proclamation. You see, righteousness doesn't come from what we do. Righteousness comes from Jesus Again, Jesus is central in this. And this is what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. This is the truth that the Spirit gives to us. You know, in our heads we say, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you can't do that. And yet, God is about changing our hearts, and the Spirit convicts us of the things that are wrong in our hearts that often come out in our hands and our lips. And so, He cleans us up at the source. There's another problem, misunderstanding, judgment that the world has. Again, the world's view is that Jesus' death was seen as His judgment. He's leading people astray, and so cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. That's the judgment of God, is that's what they saw. All right? And yet the truth is that judgment is not for Jesus. Judgment is for the prince of this world and those who follow Him. Those who reject Jesus face judgment. And it was on the cross, this cursed place, that Jesus defeated the prince of this world, Satan. This is good news, folks. This is wonderful news for us because we know we can't be good enough. We know that we deserve judgment. We know that we deserve condemnation, that we cannot be righteous enough. And yet Jesus, in all that He has done, has paved the way for us to be made clean and pure and holy and spotless. And that the judgment doesn't come on us any longer, but it comes on the one who leads the world truly astray. And guess what? Jesus has already defeated him. He has been defeated. Now, there's still those who follow. But Jesus has defeated him. When we talk about power, we don't need to fear the enemy. For Jesus is much more powerful. And His Spirit that He gives to us convinces us of that. And His Spirit is the one who leads us and guides us into all righteousness and holiness. So this truth is given to us. And Jesus says, the Spirit is going to teach the world this. Unfortunately, folks, it doesn't let us off the hook. Jesus says in verse 27 of chapter 15, you also must testify, talking to His disciples and to us, His followers, for you have been with me. You also must testify. Listen, folks, this is good news. This is news that the world needs to hear. This correcting this wrong thinking that the world has. Here's how it plays out. You know, people have a wrong thinking about these things. And their response to themselves is, God could never love me for the things that I've done. I'm not worthy. I'm too great of a sinner. God would reject me. And this is the way people feel about themselves. And it leads them to hopelessness and despair. And it leads them to not even look in the face of Jesus because they feel too badly. And part of the problem is that as the church, we've had told them how terrible they are. And that God hates them and that God would reject them. But the love of God is for all. His forgiveness is universal to all of us who accept it. See, this is the love of God. It's not limited to Americans, but even goes to our enemies of the state. This is the good news. And so we are called then to convey this truth about Jesus, that righteousness is from Him, and that by believing in Him, your sins are forgiven, that you too can become a child of God, that you too can become worthy, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you too are accepted, that Jesus accepts you and loves you. That's the news that we are to be sharing. That's the good news that the Spirit shares. So, we're called to be open to the Spirit's leading and to the Spirit's teaching. We need to be. We need to allow the Spirit of God to continue to help us in our understanding of things, particularly of these kinds of things where we often will speak condemnation instead of the love of God. We also are called then to live according to the Spirit's guidance. Yesterday in our men's discussion, we were talking about doing things for God. And the fact is that often we feel, particularly as guys, we often feel that we need to keep ourselves busy doing stuff. And doing stuff for God. That's what he wants us to do. And he does call us to do that sometimes. Sometimes he calls us to do something and to step out. But here's what happens. Often we get ourselves doing stuff, and we get on our path, and we're doing, and we're doing, and we're doing. And finally, God says, bang, and hits us over the head with a 2x4, and he says, I needed you to stop and listen to me about 50 miles ago. Okay? You were supposed to make a left-hand turn back there, but you didn't stop to listen to me. You were too busy doing stuff for me. All right? There are times, folks, for doing. There are also times that we need to simply be with God and let his Spirit fill us and lead us and guide us and make those course corrections that need to be made in our lives on a regular basis, not simply when we can't do anything anymore. All right? Finally, the truth that the Spirit gives to us is something that we also are to share. And it's sometimes by speaking, but sometimes it's simply by letting the Spirit of God be reflected in our lives. And in that way, Jesus is revealed to the world. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit in the past. When we're surrounded by attitudes of love and joy and peace, when people see patience and experience kindness from us and goodness, when they find that we treat them gently and lovingly, when they see self-control, that reflects the Spirit of God. And it points people not to us, but it points people to Jesus. See, that fruit of the Spirit is there to draw people to God himself. The Holy Spirit convinces people and convicts people. And I'm glad that the Spirit does that, because when we try to do that ourselves, we usually mess it up. It's not really our job. However, we are called to be witnesses. Witnesses to be open to the Spirit's leading and teaching, to live transformed lives, lives that are filled with this fruit of the Spirit, so that others will see the power and the truth of God, and they will know that Jesus is real. Live by that Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you and direct you and speak through you. And you will find that Jesus will be glorified. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We often find ourselves overwhelmed with what you might be calling us to do. Sometimes we think, I don't know if I have the strength or the knowledge or the understanding. Sometimes we think, I don't think I have the words to speak. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit provides for us everything that we need if we will simply take the step to follow. Lord, it's scary to go in places where we don't know where we're going. But there's something about jumping in the flow and letting your Spirit take us wherever. May we be excited about that. And may we be willing to follow you, that you will be glorified. We pray these things in your precious and wonderful name.